Hi guys, welcome back to English for You. I'm Pat.
I'm Mike.
So yesterday we saw Laura and Tiffany. They're going to Tokyo on vacation.
Fun.
And they had the plane tickets, but they hadn't sorted out a room or a hotel yet.
That's right. Since they're traveling around, you know, the new year, things are quite expensive. The hotels were sky high. The prices at the hotels were sky high. In other words, very expensive. So Tiffany, who's got a bit of experience, suggested they try Airbnb. Laura wasn't too keen on the idea, but after looking at some of the places and seeing that the prices were a lot cheaper than a hotel, they decided to go that way. So they decided to book themselves an Airbnb, and that's pretty much where we left it off yesterday. So I guess today they're going to be in Tokyo. They're going to be checking out the place they'll be staying.
Yeah. Now, what we did learn is that this place is fairly close to the sun.
Good.
Where they wanted to be.
That's good. Tokyo is huge. You don't want to travel that much.
They did say it's not perfect. So, maybe it's a little small. Maybe, who knows? We're not sure why it's not perfect. But we also found out that the Airbnb users, other people who've stayed there, say the owner is nice.
Oh, the ratings were very good.
Yeah, meaning he may be able to give them some suggestions about where to go and so on. Well, they've booked it. They're on the plane. They're going to show up in Tokyo. So let's read through today's article and find out what happens.
Reading. Booking a room on Airbnb. Laura knocks on the door of their Airbnb room.
Hi, I'm Laura, and this is Tiffany. We chatted on Airbnb.
Nice to meet you. I'm Charles.
We're excited to see our room. Is it ready for us?
Yes, let me give you a quick tour of the place. Oh, here's the front door key.
Got it.
Now, here is your bedroom. I left the Wi-Fi password on the card here so you can get online.
Oh, okay.
Is everything all right? You seem disappointed.
The room looks smaller than it did online.
I'll tell you what I can do. I'm renting a larger room upstairs, but the people cancelled at the last minute. You can stay there for no extra charge if you'd like.
That's so kind of you.
It's my pleasure. I just want you to enjoy your stay.
I'm going to give you an amazing review so you'll get more customers.
Laura takes out her cell phone to write Charles a good review.
So we start off with Laura knocks on the door of their Airbnb room. They're right at the door. She knocks. So let's see who opens it.
Wow,
some kind of surprise.
I'm a little nervous for them. I'm not even there. I mean, when you
strange
get to your
guy
hotel,
in a mask, who's
when you get
be?
To the hotel, you check in, they give you a key and you go to your room by yourself. Here, there's someone kind of in the room saying, welcome to where you're staying. Anyway, so they knock on the door and the door opens and Laura says, hi, I'm Laura and this is Tiffany. We chatted on Airbnb. So she's very politely introducing herself to the people who are there, the people who are hosting them, I guess you could say. And yes, she mentions that they chatted on Airbnb with this person. To chat, basically, it's a verb and it means to talk, to have a conversation, and kind of a casual kind of conversation, all right? So you might chat with your friends. It's like small talk when you meet for coffee and you're just talking about new things in your life. That would be a chat. You wouldn't be talking about something really serious, like a business chat, might be a business meeting or a business conversation or something like that. Chat has a much more sort of friendly, casual kind of feeling to it. For example, Tina likes to use Line to chat with her classmates. Yeah, they just, you know, talk about things that are interesting between friends.
Now, what we learn here also is that Laura and this guy have already made contact. So they're not just showing up having booked it.
That's
They've
right.
actually exchanged a few messages, say, okay, we'll be here this time. How
Maybe
do we get there
pictures?
From the
they
airport?
They might know what he looks like
yeah,
or something.
Something like that. Yeah. So the owner obviously must be expecting them.
That's right.
So he says, nice to meet you. I'm Charles. Okay.
Charles. A very Japanese name.
There we go.
Maybe, right, okay.
Yeah, it's like Taiwan, I
That's
think.
That's right.
People can choose English names sometimes. things.
There you go.
I guess it's less common in Japan, in my experience.
Charles Nakamura.
Yeah, for people to choose an English name, but maybe he has.
It might just be easier for people to pronounce or remember, so he's using that to help the tourists out, and it seems to work, because Laura says, we're excited to see our room. Is it ready for us? So basically, we're happy to be here. We can't wait to see where we're staying. And is the room ready? In other words, you know, has everything been cleaned up? Have the beds been made? Can we go in and, you know, lie down on the beds right now and that kind of thing? So what does Charles say?
Well, he says, yes, let me give you a quick tour of the place.
Great.
So he's going to show them around. Mm-hmm. There's your room. Here's the kitchen. Yeah. Here's the bathroom, you know, doors and so on.
It's a good start. He seems ready for them to arrive.
Probably tell them, okay, you're welcome to use these rooms. Maybe he says, please don't go into this room. Maybe this is my bedroom or whatever.
Yeah,
don't go in here. But he's going to show them where everything is and tell them what they can use and so on.
And he takes care of some important business also right at the beginning. He says, oh, here's the front door key. So he's handing over the key. This is, of course, what they'll use to let themselves in and out so Charles won't have to be there all the time. And as Laura takes the key from him, she says, got it. So she'll put it somewhere safe.
Yep. Now, the first place, of course, is where Laura and Tiffany are going to sleep, where they're going to stay and put their stuff. So Charles, he says, now, here is your bedroom.
Aha.
And he adds, I left the Wi-Fi password on the card here so you can get online.
Mm.
And to be fair, that's getting more and more important. If you're staying in a place with no Wi-Fi, it's difficult then, especially on a vacation, to plan, like, okay, where can we go? How do we get there?
Mm-hmm.
What can we do? It's going to be pretty difficult if you can't get online.
Sure.
So you need the Wi-Fi password. A password is a combination of numbers and letters, and you use passwords to access a computer or a Wi-Fi network, sometimes even to open a door. You might need to put in a password or even a code or something like that. Codes are usually just numbers. Password can be both. Now, in older times, a password was a special word you spoke in order to pass through something. Like a checkpoint in the army, a secret society's door, you know, some other special place where instead of typing in a number on your phone, you actually need to say to the guard, here's the password, and you give the special word. So it's a word you need to pass, hence password.
Ah, interesting.
And our example sentence gives a useful piece of advice. You should change your internet passwords regularly in order to keep your accounts safe.
Ah, that's right.
Now, I don't follow this as well as I should.
I
have to say I tend to keep the same passwords for a long time unless I know that I've been hacked or something. But if you're a bit worried, then just change your password every couple of months and you're pretty much going to be safe.
That's a good idea, especially on the websites like your email where you might
Facebook
have things.
So on,
that, it's not so important on just websites that are fun, but ones where you do business or, you know, shopping or something
shopping
like that.
Yeah, shopping especially.
Definitely want to keep an eye on those passwords and change them as often as you can. Laura says, oh, okay. And we can tell she's kind of saying it like that in not a very happy or super excited way, because then the owner, Charles, says, is everything all right? He asks her the question, is everything okay? Is everything all right? And then he points out, he says, you seem disappointed. So she didn't say, oh, okay. No, she was like, oh, okay. Because, yeah, when you say it in that way, or when he hears it said in that way, it sounds like Laura is disappointed. When you're disappointed, it's the feeling that you've been let down, that things didn't work out as you wanted them to. You expected something really great, and you got something that's just, just okay. And, you know, you have this emotional feeling of a little bit down, a little bit blue, a little bit like, I thought this was going to be great, but it's just sort of, okay. For example, we could say, I was a bit disappointed by that movie. The trailers made it look much better than it actually was. Well, yeah.
Many
movies,
a lot.
The trailers, the ads, or the pictures on a menu or something look really good, and then you get the food in the restaurant, and it just looks like a big pile of something.
Stuff. Yes.
But yeah, so you kind of had these really high hopes, and then everything kind of came in a little bit less than you expected or less than you hoped. That feeling is the feeling of being disappointed. And why exactly is she disappointed, Pat?
Well, she is going to tell the owner. I mean, you know, maybe in some circumstances you'd be like, oh, it's nothing, I'm a bit tired
from the
flight or something. But Laura's going to say why she doesn't feel completely satisfied. She says, the room looks smaller than it did online.
Oh.
So the pictures made the room seem big, but when they get there, well, there's not enough room for them and the bags together. It's
kind of like the pictures of that delicious food that really didn't look delicious.
Yeah, pictures do tell 1,000 words, but they're not always true or accurate words when you see the things in real life.
That's advertising for you.
Yeah, now some owners might be just like, well, you know, kind of sorry, but
too bad.
This is what you booked.
That's
maybe
right.
You didn't really look carefully,
but
that's not the case. Remember, we did learn that this owner is supposed to be nice.
That's right. He had a good rating as just being a good, responsible owner. So, yeah, he comes up with kind of a solution for them, a way to fix this problem, a way to sort of get rid of Laura's disappointment. He says, I'll tell you what I can do. Now, often people might begin a plan by, you know, or begin a new idea or something by saying, I'll tell you what I can do. In other words, listen to me. I hope you're going to like what I'm going to say right now.
Yeah, and then it's an offer, isn't it?
Yeah.
You say this before you make an offer to maybe make somebody else feel happier or
that's
better.
Right.
Or deal with a problem.
To
that's
come up
when
with
you
a way of
this.
Fixing something that obviously is not making that other person happy. I'll tell you what I can do. And then he tells her, I'm renting a larger room upstairs, but the people canceled at the last minute. Ah, okay. So I see where this is going. Basically, he's got two rooms in this building. The one upstairs is larger or bigger. And here's the good news. The people, the other people who are going to stay there, the other travelers like Laura and Tiffany who are going to stay there, they canceled at the last minute. When you cancel something, you sort of erase something. You were planning to do something, but then things didn't work out, so now you can't do it. If you reserve a table at a restaurant, but your friend gets sick, you'll call the restaurant and say, hey, cancel our table for tonight. We're not coming for dinner. Give that table to someone else. And these people who are staying upstairs, they canceled at the last minute. So basically, that means they canceled just a short time ago. He only found out maybe an hour or two ago, maybe not a minute ago. But the idea here is just a very short time ago, these people canceled. The last minute is today's shortcut for you. So we'll check out this cool little phrase, and then we'll be back.
Shortcut for you.
Ah, I'm so busy.
Why is that?
The play is coming up this weekend, and I still have so much to do.
Whoa, are you trying to finish sewing all these costumes before tomorrow?
Yes, I didn't mean to have so much to do at the last minute. It just happened.
Well, I mean, you still have hours to complete everything, not just 1 minute.
I'm not counting minutes. To leave something to the last minute means to not do something until right before it needs to be finished.
I got it. So to leave something to the last minute means 最后一刻.
Right. So are you any good with sewing? Would you be able to help me?
I could help a little bit. How many more costumes do you need to make?
23.
Whoa. Oh, I forgot I have to do something now. Sorry.
Good luck. You didn't mention having something to do.
I just remembered at the last minute. I gotta go. Bye.
So, we find that there is another room in this place.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the one Laura and Tiffany have got.
Right.
And as you probably guessed, if the last people who were going to rent it cancelled at the last minute, the room is free and the owner says you can stay there for no extra charge if you'd like.
Fantastic.
Now, this is great. Of course, it's great that they can stay there, but what's more, he's saying there's no extra charge. Now, when we use charge as a noun, it's basically the money that you have to pay for goods or services. If you buy something, you go, okay, so I bought it, what's the charge? Or if someone's cleaning your house, you go, okay, what's the charge for cleaning my house? We can also use it as a verb. You charge someone, which is you ask them to pay a particular amount. So as a noun, we could say there's a small charge to park your car in this parking garage. Or as a verb, we could say the airline charges people extra if their luggage is too heavy.
Hmm.
Basically, what Charles is saying is you can stay in that room and I won't make you pay any extra money. There's no extra charge.
That's good, because normally, of course, the bigger room should cost a little bit more, but being a good business business owner, he wants his customers to be happy. So if he has to lose a little bit of money, no big deal. He'll still get a good rating, hopefully. And Laura seems happy with this plan. She seems happy with this solution to the problem that she felt there was. And she says, that's so kind of you. That's so nice of you. What a nice thing to do. And the owner seems quite happy to have done it.
Yeah, he says, it's my pleasure. We say, it's my pleasure when we mean I'm happy to do it. You don't need to thank me. Don't worry about it. It's it's all easy for me. It's not causing me any problems.
I'm happy if you're happy.
Exactly. And he adds, I just want you to enjoy your stay. That's important.
What a nice guy.
What a nice guy.
Absolutely. And Laura seems very pleased with him. She really agrees with Pat and I. She thinks he's a nice guy too. So she says, I'm going to give you an amazing review so you'll get more customers. Well, that's a very nice thing to do when you're using a service like Airbnb or Uber or something like that. Give the person a very good review. And a review, basically, this noun, is kind of just sort of like a grade, but it's like a written grade. It's sort of like your opinion on something. If you see a movie and you love to write on the internet and tell everyone about the movie, you'll write a review. You'll say if it was good, if it was bad, what you liked, what you didn't like. It's kind of your opinion on something, your grade on something, and you're sharing it so other people can take your advice and follow your suggestions or at least just listen to your opinion. For example, when Scott watches a movie, he writes a review about it on his Facebook page. And movie reviews, restaurant reviews, reviews of stores or new clothing or new products, these are all popular things that people share on their blogs and on websites and stuff like that. And other customers can then read the review and take your advice.
That's right. Now, a customer is any person who buys something from a shop or buys something from a person or uses a particular service. If you walk into a coffee shop and buy a cup of coffee, you are a customer. If you visit somebody and stay at their house through Airbnb, you're a customer. Business will have lots of customers. Anybody who buys their products are their customers. So by writing a good review, other Airbnb website users can read it and go, oh, wow, this guy's got loads of good reviews. Everyone's saying is nice, which means that more people who go to Tokyo are going to want to stay with him.
Cool.
So more customers, and therefore, in the end, he'll have more money. So he may be losing a bit now by giving away his bigger room for no extra charge, but it's going to pay off in the long term as more people want to stay with him.
There you go. Any good business owner will hope to get good reviews because, yes, it will lead to more business.
Exactly. And as we said, we always want to make the customers happy. Here's another example for customers. This shop didn't have many customers at first, but more people came when they heard about its special sale.
Ah.
That's always going to get more customers.
Absolutely. There you go. And we wrap it up with Laura. She takes out her cell phone to write Charles a good review. There she is. She's being true to her word. She's giving him that good review. And, yep, hopefully they'll have a great holiday. And Charles will get lots more travelers coming to stay at his place. Everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy. So that's where we'll lead them. We're going to have a great time in Tokyo, I'm sure. But that's it for us. So we're going to go to today's For You Chat question.
For You Chat.
So we just saw Laura writing a good review for Charles.
That's right.
So the question that leads on from that is, do you write online reviews for products and services? Why or why not?
Interesting. I do. I write restaurant reviews.
Oh, really?
That's all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good ones, bad ones, or just everywhere?
Generally, they're good. I've never really said anything too terrible about a bad place, but I try not to go to bad restaurants.
True.
So that's part of the reason why. I don't review my friend's restaurants.
Okay.
If a friend owns it, I might give them just, you know, 4 stars or 5 stars, but I won't write a review. And when I do put the reviews out, I don't use my real name.
Okay, yeah. Yes. I guess if people can connect, like, I know him, he's that guy's friend.
Yeah.
We we can't believe what he says. So.
Right.
Now, one area where it's actually very important for people to have reviews is, and I'm looking at this from my own point of view, writers, particularly writers who self-publish. They need people to review their books.
Book reviews and
because
things like that.
If you get lots of reviews, good ones or bad ones or whatever, you're more likely to appear on Amazon when people search for books.
Really?
And if you need minimum amounts of books, of review book reviews to get on other book selling websites. For writers who are trying to publish their own work, they desperately need people to review it so that there's more chance that it will appear on the website so other people can buy it.
Wow.
It's super key to actually making a successful career.
Just giving it 4 or 5 stars, that's not enough.
No, that's fine.
That's okay too.
That's okay. You can give it a rating, you can write some extra comments, but if you don't do anything, then no one ever knows about it.
Wow.
So for an unknown author, they need their online reviews. So I do review books that by self-published authors, a lot of whom are my friends. Again, I do so anonymously, and sometimes I can't review it because I've helped edit the book, so it's not exactly fair. But if it's for something like that, and so therefore I'll also review bands who are not that well known. Because they also need more publicity.
Sure.
If I'm reviewing like a big hotel, there's no need.
Yeah.
They get enough publicity.
That's
they don't need
point.
My help.
Din
so.
Tai Fung doesn't need another food review.
It
They're
does
already
not.
Famous.
No, so I will try and help out the small business people with reviews. That's my approach to it.
That's a good way of doing it because, as you say, more internet traffic means a better position in a search, means more business, and it just kind of grows and grows and grows from there.
Exactly. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening to us, guys. For English for You, I'm Pat.
And I'm Mike.
Talk to you again soon.
Take
bye-bye.
Take care.
Booking a room on Airbnb. Laura knocks on the door of their Airbnb room.
Hi, I'm Laura, and this is Tiffany. We chatted on Airbnb.
Nice to meet you. I'm Charles.
We're excited to see our room. Is it ready for us?
Yes, let me give you a quick tour of the place. Oh, here's the front door key.
Got it.
Now, here is your bedroom. I left the Wi-Fi password on the card here so you can get online.
Oh, okay.
Is everything all right? You seem disappointed.
The room looks smaller than it did online.
I'll tell you what I can do. I'm renting a larger room upstairs, but the people cancelled at the last minute. You can stay there for no extra charge if you'd like.
That's so kind of you.
It's my pleasure. I just want you to enjoy your stay.
I'm going to give you an amazing review so you'll get more customers.
Laura takes out her cell phone to write Charles a good review.
Vocabulary review.
Chat. Donna and her friends like to chat online and often talk on the internet after school. Password. You have to put in a password to use this website. Disappointed. The singer was disappointed when not many people came to her show. Charge. There's a service charge if you buy movie tickets from the theater's website. Review. Reviews said that the new film had lots of action, but the story wasn't very creative. Customer. The 100th customer at this department store will get a surprise gift.